Hey there, this is Jesse Scardina, news writer for SearchSalesforce.com.
And this is Don Pluckinger, executive editor of SearchSalesforce.com, and welcome to the latest Pipeline podcast. Today, we are on site at the Salesforce World Tour Boston stop at the Heinz Convention Center downtown.
It's a busy day. I like to think that this is the second most anticipated gathering in Boston today. Behind, of course, Red Sox home opening day, which starts at 2. So we have a little bit of competition, but a pretty good turnout here so far. Same thing, Heinz is such a great area to have a conference with the marathon finish line right outside. It's a nice day out, so good to be here, Don.
And they're not, though, at Fenway, going to have Super Diamond, the Neil Diamond tribute band. At Fenway Park, they're just not going to have
they
that.
They won't. They might have Neil Diamond, but they won't have the Super Diamond, which was a fun change of pace from the last 2 years, which we saw Dropkick Murphys get trotted out. This was a little more of, okay, it's 10:30. This is kind of the sound I want at 10:30 rather than the Dropkick Murphys. Fantastic, but glaring bagpipes.
Screaming
blast.
At you, acoustic punk. But and I will say, Super Diamond sounded... better than the actual Neil Diamond, if you've heard him lately. But I just heard this on the radio coming in. Do you know who they're getting for the national anthem today?
I don't.
The Pointer Sisters. I always think June Pointer, but it's not June. It's
the Pointer Sisters.
No, it's just one Pointer Sister.
The Pointer
Sister.
Singer,
and it's not even June. But
interesting.
Dang, now it's killing me. I can't remember her name. But anyway, whatever the lead, when you think of I'm So Excited, whoever was singing the verse...
That would be the Oh Say Can You See instead.
Yeah, you got her tonight. But anyway, so moving on to business of Salesforce Boston. It's very interesting what they do with the customer stories here. There are, of course, SearchSalesforce.com readers love to hear from actual Salesforce users and maybe not hearing the message of what works and what doesn't filtered through marketing people.
Right. It's a little difficult to sit through sometimes when they give you the preview of a great customer story. In this case, there's Adidas, there's 21st Century Fox, get a nice polished video promo, and then instead of an executive from that customer, you get a Salesforce executive talking about how that customer uses it.
Which, in the first person, as if they're working
exactly.
for that company and not for
as
Salesforce.
If they are that customer. Company. So, and it's just, it goes against the grain of what makes some Salesforce conferences great. The first session I attended before the keynote was nothing but customer testimony, and it was Harvard University about how they are kind of turning into a Salesforce shop and how about half of the different schools at Harvard University have some sort of Salesforce platform, and the Harvard Graduate School of Education did a nice demo about how they're using Salesforce Social Studio to help with its social media accounts. Basically, Social Studio's basically a tweet deck that is integrated within to Salesforce.
Right, right.
So you can find leads through who you're interacting with on social media and tie that information back into the rest of the CRM platform, which is useful. But the most useful part about it was hearing it directly from the Harvard administrators who are doing it, are in the trenches, you know, learning how to get the most out of these tools rather than a Salesforce talking head telling us how this customer is getting the most out of their tools. So that's one criticism we saw last year at this show that we were hoping was going to go away. But other than that, the sessions usually have great customer insight. You've attended a couple already today. One of them was on a philanthropy cloud, which seems to be kind of a newer offering that Salesforce is putting out. What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, they gave a sneak peek of a new service they're going to be offering, and philanthropy cloud is sort of like imagine employee level LinkedIn for giving. So an employee might enter their interests for volunteering or donating money, and then through charities vetted, 501c3 charities vetted through GuideStar, they can sort of be steered toward things in their community with a little AI sauce. But anyway, you get your own little charitable giving profile through work, and then, of course, work can push some of their fundraisers and things like that, or
right.
you can integrate it into your work life. If you have X amount of hours you're allowed to volunteer that your employer gives you. You know, you can sort of, you can integrate that all together on the Salesforce platform. And so I find it interesting that they didn't buy LinkedIn. Microsoft ended up with that, but they're trying to make up for lost time by making a Salesforce admin, you know, your certified
Salesforce
network
type of.
Right, they have, so if you have Salesforce certifications, it's probably hotter right now to be on the Salesforce version of that, or at least make sure your Salesforce profile mirrors that of LinkedIn, right?
Right.
And then they're also sort of using this paradigm to do volunteerism from work or via work, which, and the folks doing the presentation insinuated, and you can tell me this since you're a millennial, but in 2025, 75% of the workforce is going to be millennials, and millennials may want to find out about charitable giving and volunteering opportunities, but they're just so busy and they're engaged with other things that the opportunities need to find them.
Right.
Just like everything else finds you and your
right. It's a convenience
thing.
Me, I mean,
too.
It's difficult to try to, you know, combine giving with convenience. It kind of seems like, you know, they're kind of opposites. But
yet,
it's just one of those things where, you know, if you can combine an aspect of some sort of field trip, even if that's around giving and around philanthropy of you know, building a garden in a park or helping build a playground, and you're doing that with a group from work or under the guise of your employer, that's just going to make you more respect who you work for a little bit more and want you to go out and do those things. Whereas, like you said, in you know, how we work nowadays, you kind of don't really ever unplug. So it's tough to really say, okay, I have this block of time to go volunteer. I think everyone would want to do more if a organization or your employer can make it easier for you to do more, then I think that's a good thing.
And we do rag on Salesforce and their company culture and their ways at times.
But their 1-1-1 giving policy is certainly something that, you know, is, you know, objectively just a cool thing for a company to do.
And I don't hear any other company spending resources. You know, it isn't cheap to fly your entire marketing staff to Boston and the Hines and get in front of customers and all this stuff. But they donate their sessions. This philanthropy cloud thing, they're doing multiple times today. So if you were in a session morning, you have a second chance, a third chance to see it. So, I mean, it's kind of cool that Salesforce supports nonprofits as well as does this to give employees of for-profit companies an ability
to help
donate their time or money as they see fit.
Anyway,
I like that.
Beyond the philanthropy crowd, there was another session that you got to go to that I wasn't privy to that I'm interested in finding more about, and it was around the idea of integrated surveys. That's the only info I have, so there's kind of a launching off point for you. What is this?
Well, it's a specific Salesforce partner talking about their product. It's called Get Feedback.
Okay.
But they also had a customer there, Athena Health,
a
company I'm very familiar with from my days covering health IT.
Boston-based, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Cambridge, maybe?
Watertown,
that's right.
And Jonathan Bush, one of the famous, Billy Bush's brother, and cousin of Jeb and George. Anyway, that guy's all right. I interviewed him a lot, but the person who represented Athena Health in this presentation talked about how they were having a lot of trouble integrating data from surveys that they did, you know, over the phone, over email, SurveyMonkey on the web or whatever.
Yeah.
They had a hard time aggregating the data, and they told their story about how they use this tool, Get Feedback, which is also used by a lot of B2C. But in Athena's case, it was B2B trying to hold on to customers in a quickly more competitive market of online medical records, which they were the first and only for a long time. But it takes survey data as the customer fills it out and whips it into their Salesforce individual records. So instead of looking back at retrospectively at data from the last 6 months worth of surveys, you can actually take action on surveys as they happen. Yeah. So if somebody is very unhappy and they indicate it through a survey, you can have a salesperson call them back right now.
Right.
Within 45 seconds. That's how quickly a bad one can be responded. And then, but it sort of elevates the results in your sales force. And that's the integration.
It makes a survey a one-to-one outlet. Whereas I think most of the time surveys are taken as a mass data set. And okay, these are the results, and this is where it's trending bad. But when you're able to individualize the results and you see that there's someone who's not happy, now that becomes just another way to interact and become a point of communication from your company to that customer.
It also, I'm sure they were not going for this, but it integrates marketing and sales, which sometimes marketing staffs and sales staffs are on opposite end of the buildings and they talk in formal meetings, but not necessarily on a one-to-one basis, on a customer-to-customer granular basis. And so it integrates marketing data straight into the sales process.
And that's one thing that, you know, we keep hearing themes over, you know, almost most pitches that we get. And one of them that we keep hearing that we make fun of a little bit is digital transformation. One of the other ones I always hear is sales and marketing alignment and the importance of bringing those two departments together, especially with just how consumers interact. I mean, marketing and sales from a consumer perspective are almost the same thing. So from a business side, they need to be in tow as well. One of the things at the Salesforce World Tour events, of course, you know, they were in DC, I think just yesterday or maybe the day before, travels the country. There's really no big news that comes out of this event, no new products, no, you know, real big announcements. The only thing that came out today was dating back to Dreamforce when Salesforce announced their Google partnership and a lot of the integrations and alignments with products. They announced that the Marketing Cloud and Google Analytics 360 will be generally available now. But they did quickly touch on the introduction of the Integration Cloud, which was built out of Salesforce's recent $6.5 billion MuleSoft purchase. I understand that you perused the expo floor and found someone who had a little bit to say about the Integration Cloud and that new Salesforce unveiling.
Right, one of Salesforce's partners, and obviously who finds events like these important enough to get a booth on the expo floor.
That's not free.
Exactly. It's a company called Jitterbit.
Jitterbit.
And I was looking for a phone cord because my phone cord broke.
Is this your first tech conference?
Oh, my gosh. I have two chargers, but nothing to charge it with. And hopefully we can still hear things on this podcast. Is my phone dead yet? Anyway, so I go around looking for a phone cord, and I stick my head around Jitterbit's table. Yeah, they don't have phone cords. But I was accosted by Zachary Svensson, who's the senior manager of alliances. And he's like, hey, you know, shake my hand, curious guy, right? And so I engage. He's got my attention. What do you do? He's like, oh, we are an integration platform for Salesforce.
I've heard that before.
And I'm like, so of course my first question is, so how come MuleSoft isn't going to eat your lunch? Are you worried about that? And his answer was basically no. First of all, if anything bad happens, it's going to be 2 years from now. But he felt that the MuleSoft acquisition was the tide that raises all ships and shows everybody the need for integration with on-prem data sets. And it's never going away.
Right.
You know, it's an acknowledgement that Salesforce needs to help its customers tap into these data sets and bring their value into Salesforce, and they can't do it because they're all cloud. So it really justifies the existence of this company even more than it did before they acquired it, the largest acquisition in Salesforce history.
And it reminds me of a similar Salesforce acquisition when they bought Steelbrick, a CPQ vendor, which was also a partner, but there's several other CPQ partners as well. Actis, that we see over at most Salesforce shows, also a CPQ partner. And you can see Salesforce buy one, turn it into a new product, but understand, and that's where the App Exchange, I think, is very valuable for them. They understand the need that, okay, some of our customers aren't going to use this product that we bought. They want this other solution. We need to make sure that we have an integration for them still. So I think that's where the Jitterbit thing kind of ties into that with MuleSoft. And one thing that I want to just touch on that we mentioned on the last Search Salesforce Pipeline podcast about the MuleSoft purchase, we opined a little bit about if there was a bidding war.
Yes. How many people drove that price up for Benioff to win the auction?
Turns out there wasn't a bidding war. It was just Benioff asked the MuleSoft CEO, whose name I don't have in front of me, for I think it was around 36 a share. MuleSoft came back with around 44 per share, and Benioff just said sure. So I think he wanted to get the purchase done, and I always say, you know, you got to ask for what you want, because you know, if you don't ask, you don't get it. So
it's the old, he was bidding against himself, huh?
Right.
Anyway,
but I think that does it for us here today at Salesforce World Tour. We got some more sessions to go to. Things are picking back up here. Lunch is over.
Are you going to go to the session, the history of the Salesforce cartoon characters?
That's the only one I want to go to the rest of the day.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't wait. Astro and Cody and...
Ernie.
And, is that Einstein and...
After your first happy hour or before?
that's definitely after.
You got a couple martinis.
Me and Einstein, we're actually going to go to Regal Seafoods later and grab some drinks. So if anyone wants to go, we might be there. But thanks a lot, Don.
Till next time, Jesse.